Father, I just pray this morning that whoever's listening, either through the airwaves or here in this room, as we begin the introduction to the book of Colossians, Lord, as we just talk about it, and then next week get in a little bit more of an introduction, and then really begin to start to dive into every word that proceeds from your mouth to the writer Paul in Colossians. There is so much of it that applies today that that's why we want to study it, Lord. Not just to hear the words, but to use it in our lives and apply it to our lives so that we can be more effectual during the time that you've given us until you come back or till you take us home. So, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be the voice that everybody hears today and not my own. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are going to start this great book of Colossians. It's four chapters, but it's power-packed. And it really is a book that relates to us today and what we in the United States of America especially are experiencing and going through. So I believe it's going to be very applicable for you. And through the course of the next 3 or 4 months, I really believe that it can help to change our lives. And that's why we want to read and teach and preach the Word of God. Just open your spirit to the truth. And of course, if and when I bring scripture up, always double check and make sure that I'm telling you the truth, because the truth is in here, not, well, I pray it's in here too, but people are fallible and this is infallible. So you always want to cross-check, okay? So let's talk about Colossae, the church at Colossae. I told you a little bit earlier, this was a very small church, okay? Paul said it was a very small church, but it was a strong church. Small but strong. That's like what I like to think about us. I believe that we're small, but we are strong. It was made up of largely Gentile believers. There weren't a lot of Jews. Paul was preaching to the Gentiles, so the church at Colossae was mostly Gentile believers. He dictated this letter to them from prison. Okay, he wasn't with them. This was a letter, obviously, to be sent because he was busy, obviously, in prison. And he sent it to them by way of Epaphras, this man Epaphras. He was one of the Colossian elders in the church, spiritual oversight, if you will, in the church. And he came to Paul, reporting to Paul, as he was in prison, that the church was being infiltrated by heretics. So here's a church, and we're going merrily along. We're a strong church, and we have good doctrine and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, through those double doors, people started coming in bringing heresy, bringing false doctrine. Epaphras started to notice it, probably getting a little bit out of control. So he goes to Paul, who founded, and said, listen, Colossae's being attacked by this false religious jargon. It's not the truth of Jesus Christ. What do I do? Paul, in the first two chapters especially, writes all about that. He hands it back to Epaphras, and Epaphras brings it back to Colossae to read to the Colossae church. But I told you before that Hierapolis and Laodicea were in the same vicinity. So the letter probably got distributed to them as well. And again, when we go to the seven churches in Revelation, you don't hear of Colossae, but you do hear of Laodicea. And again, you'll find out later, it's because an earthquake hit it and it destroyed the church not long after Paul sent this letter. He was preparing them not only against false religion, but how to prepare for a coming disaster. Interesting, isn't it? So he reported to Paul that these heretics came in peddling a toxic blend. What were they teaching? Philosophical and legalistic errors. Philosophy is anything goes, and New Age, and all this kind of stuff. And of course, legalism is more like Judaism. We got to stick to the law, and we can't break away from the law. We have no freedom in Christ. So the very thing that the Judaism was into, and the very thing that the world was into, when the church got started, the rest of the world said, hey, we want to come in and water down what you guys are doing because we don't agree with you. It was on the sign for a long time. I said, we do not water down God's word for anybody. Not social whatever graces that are out there today. Not the way the left is leaning or even the right is leaning. Who cares which way they're leaning? We're not leaning. We are standing firmly rooted in the Word of God. But Colossae was, they were getting hammered now by these people from the world philosophies and the Judaism people, the legalism, and it was coming into the church and trying to tell them, no, wait a minute, Christianity, yeah, we get it, you know, Jesus can't, but you still got to follow the laws. And you know what? There's many ways to God other than Jesus. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It was happening at Colossae, okay? They're errors. Now, a heretic, give you a definition, is one who holds views and teachings that differ from the truth of Christian scripture. So anything that is not of the Word, because God said you can't do what? You can't take away from it, and you can't add to it. So, you know, the principles, obviously, that we teach from it, obviously the Holy Spirit can bring a principle out of the truth that's in here, but it will line up always with the truth. But again, they're bringing views and teachings that differ from Christian scripture. So when we talk about a heretic, or we talk about certain cults that come in, those cults are heretics, okay? So the heretic is the broad general term we're going to use when I talk to you. And then things like Gnosticism and Judaism and the things that I'm going to hand out to you in a little bit will just give you an idea of some of these other religions that were trying to infiltrate this Colossian church. So you're going to leave here today with a handout. I don't want to give it to you now because you'll look at your handout and you won't listen to me. Okay? But these views and teachings you're going to have in your hands, so for the sake of time, I'm not going to preach it today. You can look it over and you can see some of these views and teachings that the Colossians were getting exposed to. And you're going to go, ah, that's what's happening in our church today. Well, not this church, but the church today. Because we see it operating. You can see it. Paul quickly addressed the situation when Epaphras came to him and said this was happening because he loved him and he was praying for him. And so he addressed the situation with prayer, with revelation that he was receiving from God, with wisdom, and he took this letter and the letter in order to send it back to attack the false truth claims that were warring against the Colossians' faith and intellect. You know that we have an intellect. God gave us a brain. We don't stop using it once we come to Christ. We do have a brain. We do have an intellect. There are things today, especially with the election and a lot of things going on today. Just use your brain. If you can't get into the spirit with it, just common sense will tell you some things are right and some things are wrong. But the Colossians were being attacked in their intellect, of course, by philosophy and legalism. And they were also being attacked philosophically with spiritual things that made no sense. This is how they were being attacked. And Paul addressed it with this letter that we're about to study. Okay? After Paul deals with these false teachings in chapters 1 and 2, and we'll go through them thoroughly, he then gets into practical Christian living. Okay, so if false teaching isn't what we're supposed to adhere to, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? And Paul goes into chapters 3 and 4, and man, there's a litany of lists of things that we should be doing as Christians. Christ-like things. Things that Jesus commands us to really do. And so in chapters 3 and 4, it will be challenging. And Paul puts it this way in his epistles, in chapters 3 and 4. He's going to challenge this well-founded church that should, remember, it was strong, but it was small. He's telling them to seek the things above. Seek the things above. While overcoming things below. That's the message. If we want to, again, I'm giving you an introduction today. I'm just trying to give you an outline of Colossians. He's going to tell them, and you're going to read all about the things that we should be seeking above. And he says, and you need to overcome and get that old man off and crucify him and overcome the things that are of below. Okay? Paul sent again this small church. Now remember, I'm saying small again because here's a principle we can glean today. He sent this very small church amongst the churches that he planted, his best ministers, his best messages, his best missionaries, and his best resources. So just because you're small doesn't mean you're tall in the Spirit. Paul was sending him his best. And here it is, folks. God is not fooled by largeness. Listen to me. He's not fooled by huge churches with huge praise teams and very charismatic preachers and all the largeness and coffee and donuts and programs that we get in big churches. God's not fooled. He wants to see a small, strong church that adheres to the Word of God, does not water it down, that knows how to fight in spiritual warfare, and has the faith that can conquer anything. God's not fooled by big churches. You just can't fool God. He knows it all. He looks at the church's quality of a church or a person. How? In your heart and your spirit. In your heart and spirit. Okay? So it would not be long, I already told you this, after receiving this letter, that Colossae, they were going to get a devastating earthquake that was going to destroy their church. They didn't know this at the time. Paul, by revelation through the Holy Spirit, probably didn't know that the earthquake was going to come. But through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, he gave them information that was going to help them to be prepared for a tribulation, a earthquake, a persecution, if you will, really. Because at that time, when that church folded and it just became rubble, they now needed to take their strong, faith-filled lives and head to Laodicea or Hierapolis. So God looks at the quality, right? So one of the major influences attacking Colossae at the time Paul wrote this letter, a huge influence back then, is a thing that we call Gnosticism. Gnosticism. And you see it today, and I'll explain how it works in today. But the Gnostics taught that salvation resulted from special knowledge revealed to only a select few. What does that remind you of? Oh, in 1867, Ellen White or whatever and stuff like that. Oh, for the Mormons and for the Jehovah's Witnesses, these are in the 1800s. This select special few. It was the flu. They should have avoided it. Special knowledge came to these people. And they had a new gospel to present to us, different than what is written. They're Gnostics. And out of the Gnosticism developed the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witnesses and a host of others you're going to hear about in a minute and be given in just a minute. So, this Gnosticism, does it sound familiar? Yeah. We see these cults today still with us. They just have different names. Gnostics also claim there were two gods. One good God, one bad God. Really. They claim there was a bridge. You know what a bridge is, right? There was a bridge getting from one place to another. A bridge of angelic beings. Jesus being just but one of them. So they're saying, some of these guys, Jesus wasn't God, but he was one of his messengers, one of his angels, one of his mediators. He's the mediator. He's the umpire. He's the only way to the Father. But they're saying, oh, no, 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 no. And the Pope today is saying, oh, no, 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 no. We serve the same God, but there's many ways to him. No siree, dude. It's going to be a camel going through the eye of a needle. It's going to be a narrow road. It's always been one, and it always will be. There will always be a remnant within the church that has got the true church, that's not watered down, that trusts in the gospel, that believes and has faith and does warfare the way God desires it to be. Now listen, because it's going to make sense. This bridge of angelic beings, Jesus but one, this is what they believe, these Gnostics, and it runs through a lot of other religions. Okay? This through which the good God, see these messengers, the good God would contact this evil world with saving truth. So Jesus, being an angel, would bring saving truth to us. And so-and-so, another angel, would bring saving truth to help us out. And so-and-so, and so-and-so, and all these different religions would bring saving truth to the human race to show you that there is a good God. and stay away from the bad God. Sounds like a movie. Good and evil, but in the wrong context. Now, I want you to think about what I just said. Here's this bridge of a mediator presenting us to the good God. Roman Catholicism. Largest religious-based organization. I like to say organism, but there's so much falsity there. There's truth. They embrace truth, and there's some saved people in the Catholic faith. Why they stay inside the basis of that religion, I don't know, because there's so much false stuff that's intermixed with the truth. Okay? But think about this. Roman Catholicism. Their practice of praying to Mary and to the saints, by the way, is like what I just talked about, Gnosticism. The bridge. You pray to Mary, you pray to the saints, and she and they take your prayers to God. You got to go to the confessional, to the priest, to confess your sins so he can be that intermediary between you and God. That's Gnosticism. You don't need a priest or me or anyone else to go to God. Jesus tore the veil when he was on the cross and opened access to anyone who comes to God to pray directly to him for the forgiveness of sins. But can you see how this false religion crept in and is even in our churches today? And we hold to, you know, they believe in Jesus Christ, and there's good things that they believe, but then there's things like purgatory and praying through the saints and a couple, lots of, there's just, I got a whole handout of some of the doctrines that they hold. They're false. But then there's a lot that's true. Now, do you want to go to a church that's giving you half right and half wrong? You got to be careful. I'm not knocking. I kind of am. I'm just warning you that in any church, could even be ours, do your homework. And if there's false teaching, please bring it to me, because I'm not going to be one that says, well, that's just the way we believe and that's our tradition and then we're going to stick to it. I'm going to get on my knees, repent, and say, no, we're going with the truth. I taught it wrong. I'm wrong. Forgive me. Let's go with the truth. I don't care about being right. God has to be right. And if churches would recognize that and get rid of the false doctrines they've held on to for years, well, the gifts ceased, and there's no apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher anymore. Well, then why did Jesus say that he gave this gift to us? Did he lie to us? Is the Holy Spirit that watered down that his gifts still are not working today? Cessationists say no, and there's a lot of churches that are cessationists. How do you do that with the Bible in your hand? And you read it directly from the Lord, because it's inspired in its totality by the Holy Spirit. I've said that enough to you. Just one example of how Gnosticism worked its way into Catholicism. Okay? Besides the Gnostics, the Colossians had to contend with the... Now, forget that. The Greek and Roman philosophies, and I think you're all familiar with being in high school and all that stuff and reading all about that stuff. There were the philosophies of how we reach our karma and God and our inner peace. And our inner peace comes from looking within ourselves, because we're really gods and we're evolving into gods. That's Mormonism. They believe that you are a god and you're evolving into the big God. Really? If you think I'm God, whoo, you got problems. Because I ain't even close. And neither are those who claim to be God. They would be called what? Antichrists. Because there's only one Jesus. There's only one Father. There's only one Holy Spirit. And the three are one. What did he say last week? One in substance, but in their what? Anybody remember? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have different roles. Remember we talked about the men and the women and stuff like that? We're co-equal spiritually. They're equal. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are co-equal spiritually. But what they practice, their roles that they've been given and to do are different. Okay? Well, one God. So now, the Greek and Roman philosophies come in. The Gnostics come in. Then you got the Jews who were bringing in what? The former Judaism, which was the legalism, the law, the Torah, all that stuff. Okay? And then there's other various religious cults, which you'll see here in a minute, that, you know, they took a lot of this stuff from. And they were simply called mystery cults. Why? Think about it. They were secretive. Ooh, let's step back for a minute. What secretive type of cults do we know of today? The Masons? Secret society. The women's part of that, or whatever that is. You know, there's these religions that are very, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. When we first opened up these doors, people thought we were a cult. They thought we were secret. Why? Because there's no windows in front. Why are there no windows in front? Because pastor doesn't want everybody looking at traffic, and we don't want to hear the traffic. Not because we're a cult. We're not sacrificing babies in here. Walk through the double doors. Walk through the other double doors. Come on in. See it for yourself. Don't gossip. Test it. But there were Greek and Roman philosophies, Jewish legalism, mystery cults, this Gnosticism I just told you about, and it's all about being false teaching, okay? Times haven't changed. This modern-day false religions are still trying to water down God's truth of His Word and the church. And, you know, it's happening. So, again, you'll recognize truth when you see it. Today, we see the rise of what is called the New Age movement. Anybody heard of that? The New Age movement. That is a smorgasbord, okay? The New Age movement blends, brings together many, 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 many things. That's what a smorgasbord is. It's a lot of different types of foods, and you get to choose what you want, okay? This is the New Age movement. It blends deities, different gods, and doctrines from various religious, philosophical, and mystical schools of thought. So they take from the secret societies, they take from the Greek and Roman philosophies, and they take from religious cults that are out there, like the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, all that kind of stuff, and they bring it all together and say, we can go and we can meditate and we can go into our inner self and we can become God, and we're products of our own destiny, and we're going to come back as butterflies, and then maybe next time we'll come back and be God. And it's everything and anything. New Age is just live free. Any way you want to. And the way we're supposed to live is to live free, the exact way God wants us to. And there's a difference between how God wants you to live and how you want to live. Okay? New Age. New Age. Additionally, the world's major religions will soon be moving towards merger, because that's what the Bible tells us will happen. It will be called religious Babylon in Revelation. That means there's going to be one world order. They're going to come against Christians so much so that there's going to be one world religion. And if you don't line up with it, you better be ready to defend your life and your scripture and your God. Because it's here. I already told you how. I'll tell you again. This is going to be a world religion, and it's going to merge to facilitate what everybody likes to say, unity. Jesus' unity, everybody being of the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit in common, is different than world unity, where Muhammad comes in, and Hinduism comes in, and New Age comes in, and Greek philosophy comes in, and Gnosticism comes in, and all these other religions come in, and we all come together in a little rowboat that's going to go straight up to the one God. Uh-uh. Not what the Bible says. The Bible says they're going to float on away and straight to hell. Because real unity is the only unity, and that is that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and that the Holy Spirit lives and moves and has His being in you, and when you give your life to Christ and submit yourself and surrender yourself to Christ and realize that He's the only way, the truth, and the life, and that you now live for Him, you're dead to self, you get your old ways out of the way, and you sanctify and we work on that sanctification process, that is the only way you're going to get to the Father and experience life everlasting in the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you think that religious philosophies, if you think that New Age or Gnosticism or any of these other things are going to get you into heaven, then you are reading the wrong book and listening to the wrong people. Stick to the Word of God. Make sure you check up on all the teaching that you get taught, and make sure that you stay and fix your eyes on Jesus and never take them off of who He is, and who He is. He's not an angel. He's not just an intermediary that was made by God. He's not just another prophet. He is Almighty God, the great I Am, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He came in the form of a man, and as one God, He was presented to us in human form, just as the Holy Spirit is presented to us in spiritual form, but it's still one God. Jesus emanates from the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is working in you, His nature and His character, you're seeing the nature and the character of God, the Father. All Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all products of one God. Not a product, but God Himself. And all these religions are just trying to twist that, what I just told you, in some way, shape, or form. Well, He's not really God over here. Holy Spirit's just a force. He's not really a person. God the Father, he's a good God, and He's also a bad God. You see that? All these false religions stem from trying to twist who God the Father is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is. And if we read Colossians together, Paul's going to tell us who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who Jesus is, and that He's the only way. We're going to talk about the preeminence of Christ, first in all things, because God is first in all things. He's representing the Father. That's the preeminence. He's seated in the heavenlies, on His throne. All, everything's been given unto Him from the Father for Him to rule and reign forever, because He is. He was, and He will be. Kind of cool. So this worldwide religion, the Pope, I told you, recently met with the leaders of these worldwide religions to do just that, promote unity. Unity the world's way. And that will bring us religious Babylon, which will bring us into Revelation, which will bring the coming of Jesus even faster and faster. Okay? And it's coming faster than you think, folks. Christians, we're different than the world. Now listen, during this time when this begins to happen, persecution will come. Tribulation is already here. It's going to intensify. And of course, the last 7 years is the great intensification or the great tribulation. Okay? Persecution comes when someone is perceived as being different. Right? Persecution generally comes to, whether it's us or whatever, persecution comes to those who are perceived as different. So, here we go, as to conclude for today. Are you willing to call out errors so that you and our church can continue walking in the truth? Or are you going to be scared and say, I fear for my life and I'm going to deny what Jesus really said? That's what it's going to come to. Are you willing to call out errors? That's what it means to follow Christ. In the last 30 years, listen, in the last 30 years, we hear of hyper grace in the American church. Hyper grace. Just turn on your TV, watch some of these guys that are out there and stuff like that, that smile at you all the time and say, grace, 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 grace. You never hear them talk about judgment of God or obedience and all that kind of stuff. There's been a hyper grace, not in every church, but there's that propagation of this hyper grace teaching. This teaching tells people that because the blood has provided for sins past, present, and future, you do not have to worry about confessing sins or obedience. Faith without works is? That should end the story right there. To think that God does not require obedience. Oh yeah, I sent my son down there to bring the whole, everybody, that, what that says is everybody's going to heaven. Everybody. And if that's the case, why did Jesus die on the cross? Because everybody was already going to heaven. So there was nobody that needed to put their faith and trust in Him and walk as under His lordship. If, well, you know, I don't really feel like it because I'm covered by grace. I'm going. I don't have to obey you. I don't have to live righteously. I don't have to have the peace and the joy. I can get the worldly stuff because I did what you said. I went up to the altar and I said, I do. Just like if you were in a marriage and you go up to the altar and you say, I do. I don't have to be faithful to you. I don't have to take care of you. You got the kids, you take the kids, you keep the kids. I'm going to do my lifestyle any way I want to. You're supposed to be head of the home. Yeah, that's right. That's why I'm making the decision. You're doing whatever you want to do, I'm leaving. How can the world function like that? That's not God. This hyper-grace stuff, you know, we have to have balance. God is a God of grace and mercy. Hallelujah! God is also a God of judgment. And if we forget that and don't preach it from the pulpit and let people know that faith without works is dead and that when we come to a loving, loving relationship with God, we're going to want to please Him and we're going to do what's right. But we should have and never lose the fear of God. What do I mean by that? The awe of God. The profound majesty of God. The fact that He created us and we're the created being and whatever He says goes. His lordship. We lose that, and you lose that, and you'll get watered down so fast that you'll shrink to nothing. Because the body's mostly water anyway. If you think about it, you got to tap into that part of you that God gave you, His Spirit, so that you can rule over that water and dirt that you were created with. Folks, they say that you don't have to worry these hyper-grace people about confessing sins or obedience. God will take care of it. God has taken care of it. No self-examination needed. Where on earth is that coming from? It's wrong doctrine. So the bottom line today, folks, and you have it in front of you, do not cave into heresies that will conform you to society to avoid persecution. Did you hear that part? Don't cave because persecution's coming. Don't do it. If you have to be persecuted for the cause of Christ, find your strength and yoke up with others and go for it. You'd rather die a martyr than you would to forget Jesus or be ashamed of Him. Because if you're ashamed of Him, He said He'll be ashamed of you before the Father. You've never really had to face that in your life. And I pray, really I do, that you don't and I don't have to face that. But I don't want to be as an ostrich and put my head in the sand and realize and think that it's just going to be rosy, rosy, rosy from here on out in America and we're not going to face any type of persecution as Christians. Just look at the Jewish nation, what they're going through right now. Look at Israel and how they're being attacked on every side. And if Christians and Jews that believe in Jesus are one, and their Jewish land, even though they may not know Christ yet, is still God's chosen people who He will come back to, if we're all one big group, do you really think we're gonna miss the persecution? I pray we do. But the Word of God tells me we won't. So study God's Word closely and deeply and stand by your faith. Amen?